It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, August 5th. I'm Patricia Naft. Three laws sponsored by Western Slope legislators go into effect today. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
The first one creates a grant program to help communities fight invasive plants that threaten riparian areas in Colorado. It targets phreatophytes, plants such as Russian olive and tamarisk. Republican Representative Don Corm of Montrose sponsored the measure that sets aside $2 million to fund phreatophyte control projects.
Well, if you travel the Colorado River, the Dolores River example, it's a thicket in many areas that you can't even walk through. But it's also a water quality issue because the tree sucks up the water and it drops the salt, so nothing else really wants to grow there.
The second law going into effect deals with the state's black bear population. It calls for Colorado Parks and Wildlife to study the management of the animals. Republican Representative Eulyn Willett of Grand Junction sponsored the measure. He says the purpose of it is to find ways to reduce bear-human conflicts and deal with the overpopulation of the large mammals in certain areas.
We really need to see what areas of the state there are too many bears and how to deal with them.
The third law, sponsored by Democratic Representative Millie Hamner, provides grants to community colleges to create mobile learning labs. The state program is modeled after a similar initiative at Pueblo Community College. The idea is to have a mobile classroom set up in a company's parking lot to provide on-site workforce training to employees. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Substandard care a veteran received at the Grand Junction VA Medical Center likely contributed to his death, according to a new report. A liver specialist hired by a group lobbying for accountability in the death of 64-year-old Roger Holmes conducted the investigation. Holmes died last year from complications from a severe infection and end-stage liver disease. The report says multiple opportunities existed in the treatment of Holmes that could have altered his outcome. However, those opportunities were missed. The liver specialist says this case demonstrates that the VA healthcare system continues to face deep challenges in the effective management and treatment of patients with chronic liver disease. The VA's Office of Inspector General is also looking into Holmes' case at the request of Colorado Senator Michael Bennett. Colorado's top health official says the state will need to be more determined in reducing carbon emissions by the year 2030 to meet the standards under the federal Clean Power Plan unveiled Monday. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment will draft a plan to come up with the carbon reductions from coal-fired power plants. Larry Wolk heads the health department and says he's glad the Clean Power Plan allows for some flexibility on timing and incentives for renewables.
Overall, it's mostly good.
Colorado currently requires utility companies to get 30% of their energy from renewable sources by the year 2020. For rural electric co-ops, it's 20%. But under the Clean Power Plan, the state doesn't get credit for carbon reductions made prior to the year 2012. Wolk says that's a disappointment.
We're certainly well enough on our way. It's really a matter of being just a bit more aggressive over the course of the next, 15 years or so. But it should be a priority because we do have to do our part like everyone else does.
Wolk says he'd like to see the state implement a cap-and-trade market-based system, which the EPA suggests. He says any plan on carbon emission reductions will need approval from the state legislature. He says it'll take several years to draft a proposal. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
An additional 2.5 million people are expected to move to Colorado by 2040, the vast majority of them headed for the Front Range. As part of Connecting the Drops, our statewide water series, Maeve Conran looks at the impact on Colorado as its landscape changes from crops to houses.
The traffic on this stretch of I-25 north of Denver is the soundtrack to the changes that farmer Kent Pepler has seen happening in Weld County.
We have a culvert that goes underneath I-25 that brings water to this farm, actually, and there's a screen on the other side. And when I was in high school, I used to park in the bar pit and run across I-25 and clean that screen out. And nobody's fast enough to do that now. There's so much traffic.
This is the epicenter of urban growth and changing land use in Colorado. Weld is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation. Its population grew by 40% since 2000, and it's projected to double in the next 25 years. At the same time, 75% of its 2.5 million acres is devoted to agriculture, and it is Colorado's leading producer of sugar beet, grain, and beef cattle. This dichotomy of urban growth and increasingly valuable agricultural land and water has led many farmers in the county to sell both resources.
Money rules, and some of this water is awfully valuable.
Weld County is working to preserve its agricultural roots. Its county code has a specific right to farm statement. Farmers, water managers, land planners, and policymakers are looking for alternatives to the traditional buy and dry process, where cities buy ag water rights, shifting them to municipal use. Some cities are buying land and water, then leasing them back to farmers. But some analysts say that just delays the inevitable.
That land can still stay in production for a certain number of years, but eventually, City of Greeley, for instance, will need that water. That's when the land will be dried up.
That's Mary Lou Smith at the Colorado Water Institute at CSU in Fort Collins. They've been working to get land planners and water managers together, and throughout Colorado, some solutions are emerging. In the Arkansas Valley, some farmers practice rotational fallowing so they can lease but not sell water not being used. But a bill that would have allowed other types of temporary transfers of irrigation water failed in the state legislature this year. Smith says solutions to water problems can look good on paper, but it's hard to get everyone on the same page.
The devil's in the details. So even those who are trying to develop ag and urban water sharing don't necessarily agree on the way to do it.
But Smith says she sees solutions to our water problems coming with the next generation in agriculture, who are moving away from the win-lose paradigm so prevalent in water discussions.
It may take a new generation. It may take some of us my age dying off before we finally catch on that we can figure this out and we can incorporate all of these values. I really believe it.
Back at the Pepler Farm in southern Weld County, the next generation of farmers pulls up.
He's home from Farmers Union Camp. He's been a camp counselor for the last 3 weeks.
Tyson Pepler is set to be the fifth generation farming this land. He's currently majoring in agricultural economics at CSU, and he's already borne witness to how development has encroached on farmlands.
As long as I can remember, people have been selling their farms, and as long as I remember, I'm 19, but... it's just how it's been going. You know, you sell your land and it is a little concerning.
This is something Tyson and the next generation of farmers will have to deal with, and it's happening faster than his father Kent could have predicted as he surveys the housing developments that now dot the landscape surrounding his farm.
So I really didn't think it would be my generation that has to deal with the development. We all knew it was coming, but I didn't think it would be in my lifetime, and here we're in the middle of it, so.
Kent Pepler says he gets regular offers to sell his water rights to developers.
Oh yeah, I'm tempted every day, especially when things don't go well around here.
But Tyson Pepler says he's ready to take on the challenge, and he says there's no way he's selling the water.
Not while I'm still around.
For Connecting the Drops and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Maeve Conran.
Connecting the Drops is a year-long collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio Stations and the Colorado Foundation for Water Education. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.